Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 59. These are the words of God. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master, when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. And Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? The Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, My master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat the male and female servants, and to eat and drink and be drunk, the master of the servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and in an hour when he is not aware, and he will cut him into two, and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant who knew his master's will, and did not prepare or do according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he who did not know, yet committed things deserving of stripes, shall be beaten with few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask the more. I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on the earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For from now on, in five in one house will be divided, three against two, and two against three. Father will be divided against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Then he also said to the multitudes, Whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, immediately you say, A shower is coming. So it is. When you see the south wind blow, you say, There will be hot weather. And there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it that you do not discern this time? Yes, and why even of yourselves do not judge what is right? When you go with your adversary to the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with him, lest he drag you to the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. I tell you, you shall not depart from there until you have paid the very last mite. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So the Lord Jesus has been teaching them to seek treasure in heaven, seek the kingdom of God, that their life would not be bound up in what they have in this world, but in whom they have in heaven, and how they serve him in this world. And he goes on in this passage to say, and make sure that that is your constant focus, that you have one in heaven who is returning for you. The Lord Jesus, of course, has gone, and he is preparing them for him to go. You have one in heaven who is returning for you, and your life now must consist not in the things that you have or what people here think of you, or any other earthly thing that we are tempted to have our life consist of. Your life consists of the fact that you have Jesus, and he is returning, and you are to be serving him. That's your great focus in this life, is to be serving him. And he tells the parable, let your waist be girded. And we know what that means. It means always be ready and at your work. Very amazing in verse 37 when he says when the master gets home from the wedding, he's going to gird his waist. He's going to go to work. And what's he going to do? He's going to serve them and give them their portion. And so he comes, he says, the master is feasting and you are working. And when the master returns, he should find you working. And when he finds you working, when he returns, he will prepare a feast for you and serve you a feast, divide you a portion. It's one of the things we have a picture of where in the public worship? At the supper. Our Lord Jesus feeds us, spreads the feast, attends the table. By his servant on earth, he displays physically breaking of bread and offering it and pouring of the cup and offering it, but he himself gives himself from heaven. And that is just the smallest foretaste as we show forth the Lord's death until he comes, when he personally will attend us. And it's almost blasphemous to think about, if the Bible hadn't told us, that the Lord Jesus would wait upon us and serve us. Good thing we'll be sanctified then, because if he had, if I were to see him trying to do that to me, I suspect I'd be like Peter and say, no, no, Lord, you must never do this. And then he would say, if I don't do this, you don't have any part in me. And then, okay, then do triple. Speaking of Peter, Jesus has just finished saying, you have no idea when I'm returning. Your focus needs to be on serving me. And so Peter says, is that just for us? What about those people? What did Jesus just say? Your focus should be on serving me. What did Peter focus on? Well, shouldn't those other people be serving you too? And the Lord Jesus' answer kind of is, yes, they should be serving me, but to you, much has been given. You have been set apart for being a ruler in the house of God, Peter, and of him to whom much is given, much is required of him, and to whom much is committed of him, they will ask the more. Now, this applies to those who are put in high positions. If you become a husband or a father of a high position, you're called to be a shepherd in your family. If you become a mother, you have a high position. You are called to nurture your children. Under your husband, should the Lord spare you one, rear them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if someday, boys, you come into officership in the church, diaconate, the eldership, much will be required of you. And so Peter, of course, needed that rebuke. Peter is not always a great example for us, but there is someone who is always a great example for us. And that's the Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus says he came to send fire on the earth. He's thinking about the judgment day. He's thinking about the division of all of humanity in the two great companies, the company of his servants and the company of his enemies. He talks about the sending of the fire and dividing of all humanity. In verses 49 to 53, but he says, and he longs for the day, and it's right for him to long for the day of his return, and we should long for the day of his return. We learn that many places in Scripture. And he says in verse 50, but I have a baptism to be baptized with. And isn't it interesting? He describes the pouring out of God's wrath upon him from heaven. as the baptism with which he is going to be baptized with. And how distressed I am till it is accomplished, he says. That was the worst part of the cross for him. Not getting mocked by the Romans and the Jews who were beneath his feet. Not the nails in his hands and the crown on his head, but the wrath that would be poured out from heaven. There is fire poured out upon you one way or the other. Either the Lord Jesus baptizes you with the Spirit and with fire. He pours out his Spirit upon you and he gives you that cleansing fire. Or if you are never brought to faith in Jesus Christ by his Holy Spirit, if you are not right with God by believing in him, trusting in him, belonging to God through him, and having his righteousness counted for you, then destruction and fire will come upon you from the presence of God forever, the Apostle Paul writes to the Thessalonians. And of course, you don't want that baptism, because that baptism is equivalent to being immersed. Scripture calls it also the being cast into the lake of fire. But just as Jesus does with the Spirit and with the cleansing or purifying fire, what we do with the water in baptism, he pours that out. So also upon him, the judgment fire, the wrath fire, was poured out at the cross. And he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with. So here's Jesus. He's longing for the day of his return at the second coming, when he will send the punishment fire on the earth. Or maybe he's talking about purifying fire. I hadn't considered that in verse 49, but it's probably punishment fire, especially when he starts talking about the division, the great division. He's longing for that day, but that day is not coming yet. First, he has to go to the cross. So he's focused on the task that's in front of him. And he is our perfect example. We should long for the day of Christ's return. But our focus should not be on figuring out when Jesus is going to return. What should our focus be on? The task the Lord has put in front of us. What he has assigned to us. Serving him right now. Living the way we will wish we had been living when we get caught by his return. Because he's returning at an hour that we do not expect. Verse 40. And he says, you guys work on being ready for the weather, and you predict the weather. You don't even know what time this is. And he's talking to his generation. It was the time of their visitation. And because they did not recognize the Messiah when he visited them, the Lord destroyed Jerusalem. The horrifying judgment in AD 70. And he said, you know you're on your way to the judge. Right? That's what he's talking about. You're going with your adversary to the magistrate. He says, make sure by the time you get to the judgment, your adversary has become your friend. Well, until you belong to God through faith in Jesus Christ, God is your adversary. And he says, since you know that you're going to end up at the judgment, make sure that you are reconciled with God through faith in Jesus Christ along the way. Don't delay. You don't know when your time before the judge is coming. All you know is that right now, before you get there, is the time to be reconciled to God. Have God turn from an enemy to a friend through faith in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we pray that you would make us each to heed this word, that we would make sure to know you as our friend through trusting in Jesus and turning from our sin and having Christ's baptism that he was baptized with on the cross counted against our sin, just as our being baptized with water shows that our sin is counted against him and
His righteousness is counted for us. So stir up our faith, we pray, that we would be reconciled before we come to the judge. And then I pray that you would also help us to maintain this focus of always serving you where we are at and the time and the task assigned to us, rather than being given over to speculation about the time, or even like Peter, trying to figure out what your assignment is for somebody else. Help us, Lord, to be wholly devoted to serving you, eager that in every moment we might be doing as we will wish we had if that is the moment you return. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.